Good message. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. We're bringing Mitch Light. He always has to work for a place that starts with an A. Now it's The Athletic. And he is on the line with us. And The Athletic has put out something on their site. The Athletic presents the Nashville Sports Hall of Fame. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. And, you know what's been – thanks for having me on, Darren. And, you know, it's been kind of – we've seen lately where people go around and, you know, they get a camera crew ready to tell people they've made certain Hall of Fames and kind of catch them in a candid moment. Well, I'm here to tell you, Darren, that you did not make the Nashville Sports Hall of Fame. I'm sorry.
What?
So wow, you did. So you did. So you did just the opposite. You are surprising people with bad news, not good news.
I'm surprising people that you were even considered by anybody.
Hey, that's impressive in itself.
Hey, we've got time.
I haven't been on with you guys in a while. I need to come out, you know, take some shots at Darren.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we've got extra time, so why not take a different route? That's fine. I get it. Who's next on your list to inform them they're not in the Nashville Sports Hall of Fame?
A lot of people. But actually, you know, thanks for having me on. And this is something that we, at the Athletic, with no sports going on, you know, there's still good stuff to read. John Gornan's still covering a lot of Titans offseason stuff. But as a staff, we are kind of making an effort to a lot of evergreen topics. And a lot of cities around the country, if you go to the Athletic and bounce around, are doing Hall of Fames. And we had the idea, actually stole it from our Buffalo site, of doing a draft. So the four of us on the Athletic staff, me, Joe Rexroad, Adam Vingan, and John Glennon, basically held a snake draft to pick ours. So that's what we came up with. And it was fun. We can talk about any of the names on there. I'll let you guys ask questions. But as people have commented, there were going to be so many tough omissions. But for example, someone just put a comment like Keenan Reynolds, you know, who Nashville kid who went to Navy and maybe the all-time touchdown leader in college football history. Like, I got to be honest, I didn't even think of him. Not that he would have made our Hall of Fame, but this tells you how many really quality sports personalities athletes have come through Nashville, you know, over the last, 100 years.
Yeah. So you're only doing 25, right? 25 members?
Yes, we did 25. We did 24, actually, because we had four of us. We had six picks each, and we are leaving the 25th spot up to our readers. So if you go on there, and if you're not a subscriber, we have a 90-day free trial now. You can go on there. There's a little Google form at the bottom where you enter your candidate for the 25th spot.
Interesting. So is it just simply on the body of work? Tell us the criteria of why everybody would make their picks.
Yeah, good question. So the person who commented that Peyton Manning's not on the list because they didn't read the top of the story. It's basically a Nashville list. It's not a state of Tennessee. You had to have either been, you know, raised in Nashville through high school, played here collegiately, or played in the NFL. And we kind of went Middle Tennessee up to Clarksville, over to Murfreesboro. The only one where we kind of fudged on was Bud Adams, who made the list, was picked. I forgot who picked, but I think John Glennon might have picked Bud Adams, scrolling right now. But Bud Adams, I don't think ever technically lived in Nashville, but, you know, he spent a lot of time here, and obviously his impact to the sports landscape here was enormous.
So the first pick, Mitch, in the first round was Steve McNair. Do you think Adam Vingan was influenced by maybe not being – around as long? Because it's interesting, the first round picks: Steve McNair, Wilma Rudolph, Pat Summitt, Ed Temple. I think depending on your perspective, you could draft any of those four in any particular order, probably.
Yes, and you know, obviously we can ask Adam, but I think, you know, I don't think there's a wrong pick there. I picked Wilma Rudolph at number two. She probably would have been my number one pick. And this is interesting too. And you know, when NFL Hall of Fame voters, same thing. MLB Hall of Fame voters. Everyone has their own criteria. Sure, there are certain things that you're supposed to follow, but to me, it made a bigger difference if you were kind of from here and went to college, or if it wasn't just a college stop. Like Richard Dent made the list. I know I'm bouncing around. NFL Hall of Famer. John Gornan voted for him. Not from here. Went to TSU for 4 years. Obviously, great career. Didn't play here professionally. I think he should be on the list. I have no problem, but I weigh people like Wilma Rudolph, who's from Clarksville, went to TSU. I voted for David Price, a Murfreesboro kid who obviously went to Vanderbilt. So to me, that was kind of extra stock there. But I don't know if I was surprised that McNair went first. I'm not surprised he was among the top, but just, you know, one of the probably the most popular professional athlete we've had in the city.
I saw, too, that we go down, Tim Corbin is a pretty high pick, second round pick, eighth overall. That's a pretty interesting choice, because it's so hard in my mind to take a guy in the prime of his career, and this would go for a couple of people on the list, somebody who's in their prime as opposed to somebody who played decades ago. That's sort of the fun part of the comparison.
Yeah, it's just beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and that's kind of why we did the snake draft, the draft, and that was, you know, Adam Vingan took, we keep talking about Adam's picks. You know, Tim Corbin is obviously had a great career at Vanderbilt and still, you know, continues to have a great career. But he's also a guy that has, you know, made a big impact in the community. He's not just popular with the fans of his team. You know, I think Tim Corbin's very popular in the city and is a big presence here. So, yeah, that was a high pick there. And kind of to address your point, one guy who's actually leading our fan voting now, who we almost had at the 25th spot, is Mookie Betts. And Nashville kid, didn't go to college, had signed to go to Tennessee, but is considered, what, the second, third best player in Major League Baseball? Easily could have made it. I didn't vote for him because he's kind of young. Like, if we did this in 5 years, he'd be on it. But I completely understand why some people would vote him. And you know, he's early in his career. You know, we could be doing this in 20 years, and he might be the number one pick.
Yeah, that's a great point. So, Mitch, explain again, before I pass it along to Chase, the criteria and how people would vote for number 25, and maybe give us a couple of names that are floating around that maybe even you considered drafting here.
Yeah, okay. Well, the criteria, again, were from the state of Tennessee, and from the city of Nashville, or, you know, Middle Tennessee, and were kind of through high school. Like Tracy Calkins is an example, a world-class swimmer, went to the University of Florida, but she moved to Nashville when she was five, went to Harpeth Hall, went on, won multiple gold medals in swimming. Or, so she counts, if you went to college here or you play professionally here. And you can go to theathletic.com and go to the Nashville site. And again, we have a 90-day free trial if you're not a subscriber. And we have a Google poll or Google form at the bottom that you can vote for. And like I said, Mookie Betts right now is the leader in the clubhouse. Some other names that I considered, here's one interesting one, EJ Jr., who I think is, you know, before all of our times here, but you talk to some people, they say he's among the best high school athletes ever in Nashville, went on to play at Alabama. Sonny Gray, two-time state champion quarterback at Smyrna, obviously went to Vanderbilt and was a first-round draft pick. Roy Skinner, Vanderbilt coach. Someone mentioned in our comments, Phil Bredesen had a huge impact on professional sports here, obviously with, you know, building the arena and was the mayor here when the Titans came. Roy Kramer, athletic director at Vanderbilt. I would say he became more influential after he left Nashville and was with the SEC. Larry Schmidto, John Merritt is another name that I've seen and I thought about. Ron Mercer, a great high school basketball player here, went to Kentucky and was a first-round draft pick. So many good candidates.
We're talking to Mitch Light of The Athletic, and one name that I saw in here that you voted for that was obviously way before my time, but my dad grew up watching him, Bill Wade, former Vanderbilt quarterback. I thought it was cool that that he was included on this list.
Yeah, and he's obviously before my time too, and as I did more research, I didn't realize his dad was the captain of a Dan McGugan undefeated Vanderbilt team at 21, from Nashville, went to NBA. I think most people would say he's the best. I don't know if he's the best Vanderbilt football player ever. He's among that group, was SEC Player of the Year, and then was the first pick in the draft. That means that I weighed that a lot. Like, if you were that good in high school, that's why I voted for David Price, too, and you were the number one pick in your respective draft, played 12 seasons in the NFL, and then was led the Los Angeles Rams to led the Bears to an NFL title, I believe, in 1963. So very, very accomplished Nashville athlete there.
A couple of names that I'll throw out at you that aren't on this list. One, obviously, we know quite well, Floyd Reese, who was the general manager of the Titans when they first moved here. Is he somebody that you'd consider?
Yeah, he did. Actually, I give Joe Rexroad credit because we had our little Slack channel, our group. Originally, we had, like I said, we each had four picks, six picks to get to 24. Then before we decided to do a fan voting, we were going to just, as a staff, name the 25th one. And then we couldn't come to a consensus, so our cop-out was to have a fan do it. But Joe threw Floyd out there and the architect of the Super Bowl team, so definitely someone who we've talked about.
And then another one, and if Darren and Willie want to weigh in on this, I mean, I know it's still kind of fresh, but you look at the accomplishments that Peter Laviolette had as the head coach of the Predators, getting the team to winning the first division titles, getting them to the Stanley Cup final, winning the President's Trophy. I definitely think he's somebody that has to be considered.
Yeah, I would agree there. And Jeff Fisher is another one that we strongly considered as well. And probably if we had to name a 25 as a staff, that might have been 25. It's interesting with the coaches, and we can all – I personally, when I'm weighing them, I go more longevity. Like, that's why I think Barry Trotz and Tim Corbin, and then we've got Rick Bird on here. Like, Peter Laviolette, no doubt, did great things in Nashville, elevated, you know, took what Barry Trotz did, elevated, got to the Predators to the Stanley Cup final. But personally, I would go with a coach who had more of a lasting impression. But that, again, that's one of those where beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
So Adam did not vote for – he did not take Peter Laviolette.
That was very surprising.
Very surprising.
I gave him ample opportunity to change his picks there, but he chose not to.
I agree with you. I think Jeff Fisher belongs there for sure.
Yeah, and kind of a not, you know, we all like Jeff Fisher when he was here, kind of a punchline nationally with all of eight and eights and whatever. But if you look at his record, it's better than you remember with the Titans. You know, obviously, we know he got to the Super Bowl, but I think six 10-win seasons. You know, 2-13-3 seasons. Hey, one guy that I picked that I think kind of gets forgotten, and then I'll throw it back out to you guys, is John Henderson, who, when I moved back to Nashville.
Baby Shaq.
Yeah, when I moved back to Nashville in 96 after living in New York for a few years, I think that's kind of when he was coming up. And that's, like you said, and I mentioned it in my capsule, he was first known as a basketball prospect. Went by Baby Shaq, and it's just dominance there. And then emerged as a big-time college football prospect, went to Tennessee, stayed 4 years there, won the Outland Trophy, played 10 years in the NFL. So he might be, you know, I'm thinking off the top of my head, guys, but since, you know, I went to school here in the early 90s and then moved back in 96, might be, you know, among the very best high school athletes that we've had over the past 20, 25 years.
Those Pearl Cone teams, too, won back-to-back state championships under Coach Fitzgerald, Maurice Fitzgerald, if I remember correctly, right?
I think so, yeah. They had a great run there. Sent a lot of kids to Tennessee. You know, John Henderson was just absolutely dominant.
We've got a bracket coming out on Monday, and John Henderson got Nashville Athletes. This is Nashville Athletes only, and, yeah, he's on there. People who don't remember, yeah, he's got to be on there. I think going back to what we were talking about with Fisher, I think – you're right. You laid it out perfectly, Mitch, of, you know, kind of the narrative nationally and some and obviously some here locally. But for a startup market with the NFL, and it's like Barry Trotz, a startup market for the NHL, Barry Trotz and Jeff Fisher were perfect for this market to start up professional sports. I mean, they got it. I mean, they were out in the community. You know, they did all the other things other than just come in and say, I'm a coach, and that's that. They were willing to roll up their sleeves and get out in the community. Yeah.
And we can't
added value.
What Fisher did, just navigating, you know, most NFL coaches, they just roll up the sleeves, let me coach and do nothing else. He had to navigate the Houston, the Memphis, the Nash, playing at Vanderbilt 1 year, then the stadium. So, I mean, that just kind of added. And then the funny thing, ironic thing, is he had to pretty much do the same thing when he went to the Rams, moving from St. Louis to Los Angeles.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Mitch, really appreciate it. How's everything going so far at the
good,
Athletic?
Good. No, everyone's I was going to say everyone's happy and healthy in my house. Everyone's healthy, as Willie can probably tell, with a teenage daughter, especially my daughter, who would rather be at college than be home. You know, she's been a trooper, but, you know, not always you know, being cooped up in here is not always the best thing, but we're hanging in there.
Well, today maybe you guys can take some walks. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Oh, yeah, it's great outside. So, but thanks for having me on, guys, and it was fun talking about this.
Yep, we'll talk soon. Mitch Light from The Athletic. Go check out that read. Do you guys agree with everything you heard?
Yeah, I think.
Well, I think that the beauty of it is it's up to the beholder, right? I don't know if I would have had them drafted exactly in that order. There's certainly 24 worthy people, and I think that's why it's fun for the readers to and listeners to get involved on the 25th. And that's, I think, what we have in mind, right, guys, with what we're going to be doing next week. A little more complex, a little deeper field, and a different criteria. We're setting the tone at 30 years and not going back through the entire history of Nashville, but I think it's a fun article. This is what we have time to do these days, right? Have these fun debates.
Yeah, I think Jeff Fisher and Barry Trotz, I'll just reiterate what I said, considering, you know, those times, and Jeff Fisher even had to navigate, Barry Trotz had to navigate things in a different way, you know, basically Barry Trotz, his staff, which included Brent Peterson, and, you know, people like Pete Weber and Terry Crisp and, you know, Jerry Helper, the people who were here at the beginning, had to go out and also educate. Willie, as you know, hockey 101, there was just so many people in this market that just did not grow up with hockey and were just trying to learn the sport. And so it was about literally teaching the sport that had landed in our market. Jeff Fisher, a little bit different. Yeah, everybody's familiar with football. Everybody's familiar with the NFL. But they had to play in Memphis in 97. They had to play at Vanderbilt in 98. And then they had to move into their new home. Meanwhile, having, you know, being over at TSU and living in trailers out in Bellevue where Chase is, you know, at a mall that at the time that was open and was working and functioning.
It was behind my doctor's office.
Yeah. And so there, you know, that was an NFL team.
I went in those trailers.
Trailers. Just think about that. So different reasons. And so, and you know, and there was the perfect, Floyd Reese had put together the perfect roster also where these, you know, we talked about those guys were out in the community and they were doing player shows and they were out just doing stuff in the community. Predators, no different. I just think it was the perfect storm for this market. I don't know what would have happened. I don't even want to think about it. If it were two coaches, you know, that came in and they were just, you know, didn't want any part of any of that stuff. It was like, I'm here just to coach. I don't care about any of that nonsense. You know, I don't know what it would look like today, but Barry and Jeff were perfect at that time to kind of lead Nashville into the professional sports realm.
So you had four people picking. So I think maybe the four drafters had varying perspectives on that. But to me, if you have Barry Trotz in, you probably have to have Jeff Fisher in, right? For the same reasons, all those things
yes.
you were saying.
Yep.
The other one that's tricky for me is Bud Adams, right? You can get a little polarizing in terms of Nashville Hall of Fame.
I would not.
I mean, the
have
obvious
him in there.
Is you would not. See,
no,
I don't think you're
no
alone.
Way.
I think there would be a big divide. I think there would be some that would say, well, you have to have it. We don't have these teams if we don't have Bud Adams and the decision to come up here and take a chance on Nashville. But at the same time, Nashville Sports Hall of Fame, I'm not sure if I would have him in the top 25.
I'd have Bredesen there before I'd have Bud Adams.
I would totally have Phil Bredesen in there.
I'd have Phil Bredesen and Jeff Fisher all day over Bud Adams. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Not even
that.
Think twice about it.
Because it doesn't, none of that happens without him. I mean, it just, you have to, it takes two to tango, but nothing happens without Phil Bredesen, who was the mayor at the time that made a lot of this
right.
happen.
Right, but you could play that, you could also play that argument on the other side, right?
Sure,
that
sure.
You
no
had
question.
To have Adams in there too.
But Bud
so
Adams,
not,
had
I don't
no
think
presence
he's not
here.
Worthy.
None. Hardly any.
Right.
None.
I mean, the city of Houston could have something to do with it, too, because they wouldn't build a stadium.
Amy Adams Strunk has right. way more presence than her father. Bud yeah. Adams would literally fly in here
True.
And go to the game and fly right out. And, you know, there were obviously other times when he'd pop in here, but he virtually had no presence in this city whatsoever.
And Amy Adams Strunk has not delivered the double barrel salute either, so that's probably good.
We were there.
Not in front
we, were
of the camera,
we were there in
sure.
Canton for that. Well, actually, he did it here at a game, and he did it in Canton.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's done that a couple times.
He did it in multiple
so
states.
So who's your vote? Guys, who's your vote for 25? If so I think I'm hearing a strong one for Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher and Phil Bredesen, to me, I would pull Bud
you.
Adams
you
out.
Put me in there, guys.
I mean, and I would have Phil Bredesen and Jeff Fisher as the – because if I pull Bud Adams out, that leaves it at 23, 24, and 25. To fill all the spots would be Fisher and Bredesen.
Yeah.
And the Mookie Betts one is an interesting one because he's just on the rise, right? He's just entering in. He's entering into the prime of his career, and he could put 5 or 10 more great seasons on the board at least. But where he is right now in this moment of time, I think I'm not surprised at all that he's getting a lot of votes. That's for sure. But who else would be nominated? I think those three, Bredesen, Fisher, Mookie Betts for sure, right?
Completely agree.
You mean for nominations? For people voting?
Nominations for number 25.
Yeah.
Sure. But I think Bredesen and Fisher, honestly, should be in.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. To me, it's like there's really no other discussion past those two, in my opinion. That they belong on that list. And I'm just shocked.
Well, we're going to have some fun next week with what we're doing.
Yep. I'm shocked that Adam did not vote for Peter Laviolette. That just floors me. I still cannot get past that. All right, we will come back. Fourth and final hour, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. That's next.